about ourselves. It's about our needs. It's about our sin. It's about our deliverance. And over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be focusing on those next three. But this morning, we're looking at, give us today our daily bread. Now, this petition is an extremely practical one. Jesus says that when you get to this part of the prayer, that you are to pray that God will give you everything you need for the next 24 hours, for our daily needs. And that was very obvious for people of Jesus' day, that because they lived day to day. They lived in those 24-hour pockets. When people went to work, most of them were working as laborers, and they went into the marketplace early in the morning, hoped to get work, and then when they did their day's work, they then went back home after being paid. So they were paid on a daily basis. And whatever they got paid, it was able to pay for their food, their bread, for what they needed for that day. And then it would be exactly the second thing. The next day would be the same. But what, in all seriousness, is our daily needs? What is, in the Western world today, what is necessity? I'm talking about the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities. Yeah? What are they? Someone shout out. Food.
Shelter.
And water. They're the bare necessities, aren't they? This survey was taken last year. Over 2,000 people from the ages of 18 to 65 were asked to list their 20 bare necessities of life. Number 19 was an iPhone. Not mine. Hasn't been working for the last few months. Number 15 was a glass of wine. Wow, I would have hoped to get that in the top 10. Number 13 was chocolate. Number 7 was the good old cup of tea. Number 2 was the television. And number 1, you already know because I heard you shout it out. Wireless internet. It's obvious young people did this, isn't it? Wireless internet is the number 1 necessity in life for young people today. But in all seriousness, for the majority of the people who live around the world today, it is still bread. It is still water. And it is still shelter. Can I ask you a question? How often do you pray, Father, give us today our daily bread? For the majority of us, sometimes it doesn't even come into our minds. And that is probably because we are wealthy, we're healthy, and we're happy. And when we are those three things, we don't even think about praying for these basic things of water and of food and a shelter. Because they're just so easy to obtain, aren't they? And when we have them so easily and so readily, it doesn't even cross our minds. Other Christians don't pray because they feel that, you know, in the West we are so, we have so much that it would be inappropriate for us to pray for more. And that we should actually be praying, Lord, help us to live wisely with what you've given us. And we need to be praying that, for sure. We need to be wise in what we do with our resources. But Jesus told us to pray for this, that we should pray for our daily needs. And it's important that we do because, firstly, when we're praying like this for our daily needs, the first thing we're doing is we're acknowledging our dependence upon God. We're acknowledging that actually everything we have comes from Him. Even our bread, even our water, even the air that we breathe, if we didn't have it, we wouldn't last very long, would we? And yet we take it for granted so often. And yet everything that we have comes from his hand. He is the source of everything we have. If we for one moment think that somehow we have achieved all this on our own, that somehow we've been able through our own cleverness, through our own intellect, through our own hard work, that we've achieved everything we have in life, then we are deluded. You see, God even helps us with the gifts and the skills that we have to enable us to make money, to gain things. But it's all his grace. It's his grace that we were born here in the UK, or if you weren't born here, wherever you were born. You could have been born anywhere in the third world. And you would understand the importance of praying, Lord, give me this day my daily needs of water and of bread and of shelter, security, safety. So it's important that we acknowledge that everything we have comes from God. The second thing is that when we pray like this, we're guarding ourselves against ingratitude, because it's so easy to become ungrateful. And we'll come along to that in a moment. But this is such a practical thing. Jesus is telling us that we should pray for these practical things every single day. And it's also something that we can practice. And I think there are a number of things we can practice that can help us as we pray through this part of the prayer. I want to encourage you to practice these things as you pray this part of the petition, to actually live these things out daily, and I believe it'll help you. The first thing is this. I want to encourage you to practice celebration on a daily basis. That when you get to that part where it says, give us this day our daily bread, that we remember to celebrate. In Psalm 107, the psalmist in verse 8 and 9, he says this, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things. Let's give thanks to God for the basics of what he gives to us. In 1 Chronicles, King David, who wrote many of those psalms, he had this real desire to build God a temple. And God said to him, you're not going to do it. Your son Solomon's going to do it. But David, he wants to raise funds for it. And he asked the leaders to give towards this, and he asked the people to give towards this, and he's amazed about what happens. In 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10, it says, praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise for your glorious name. Then verse 14, he says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. David is saying, who am I? And yet David was a great king. David was a real man of God. And he said, but who am I? You know, that we've given you this generosity is only because you have given it to us already. It comes from you, and all we're doing is giving it back to you so that you can be glorified. And then we have that kind of heart, we have that kind of spirit, where daily we celebrate and say, thank you, God, for every blessing that you give to me. Thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you for the blue sky. Thank you for my beautiful bed that I slept in last night, the security of sleeping. I mean, Emily was saying she slept out in the wilds. And that was unpleasant, wasn't it? You know, you knew you were safe still, because they are not going to let you get into trouble, I'm sure. BMS are not that reckless, who knows. But, I mean, just being out in the cold and the wet, and the dark. And some people have to live like that. That's why it's so important that we do things like night shelter. And Jan is heading that up again this coming year, and I'm sure she'd love more volunteers to help with that. But people live like that, and they don't have shelter. They don't have a place of safety. And it's important that we celebrate and we thank God for all the things we do have. So practice that every day. Secondly, practice contentment. Practice contentment. You know, one of the things that happens is often that, you know, when we think somehow that we've amassed this ourselves, we look around and we look what other people have got and we get really kind of jealous. And we say to ourselves, why is it that that family, that that person seems to be able to earn huge amounts of money and seems to be able to do whatever they want and go wherever they want? And Lord, why can't you make me like that? But if we believe that God gives to us and everything comes from Him and that He wants us to be wise with what we got, then we can be content. We can be content with what He gives us. There's a story in Exodus 16 where after the Lord had delivered His people from Egypt, from slavery, they were under oppression, He hears their cries, He sends Moses and Aaron, and they lead the people out. They lead them out into freedom. And yet in the desert, it doesn't take long before these people begin to moan and groan and complain, and they look back with fondness to slavery. Because they said, at least in Egypt, we got meat to eat. And God, by His grace, He gives them manna, and He even gives them quail. But it's so easy for us to become discontented, isn't it? You know, the advertising business, it works off our discontentment. You know, we see something and we want it, we desire it, even though we probably can't afford it. And we think it's going to make our life better. We think that it's going to make our life happier. But most of these things don't. Paul learned the secret of contentment in Philippians 4, verse 10. He's writing to the church in Philippi. He says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've been concerned, but you have no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Wonder if we've learned the secret of being content. Or do we still harbor desires? Do we still want to amass? Do we still grab things like the world does? Do we still want to move upwards? There's nothing wrong, you know, money. Money is never the issue. It's our heart towards it. You know, I think God wants more people He can trust with His resources, with His finances. Those people who will use it wisely. Those people who are so into the kingdom of God. And, you know, I'm so grateful for people like that here. But it's not just about amounts. It's about all of us giving freely and graciously. The third thing I want to encourage us to practice on a daily basis is confidence. Confidence that the Father hears our prayers and He will provide. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, would he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So Jesus tells us not to worry about these practical things. And yet we do. We get anxious. We get worried that we're never going to have enough. That we're not going to be able to leave enough for whatever. Only this week, I renewed my life assurance. Because after 25 years, when we first took our mortgage out, 25 years has passed. And 25 years ago, you could get a really nice life package with critical illness cover, with full life on both of us, for £27. It was amazing, right? And I wish I'd gone for longer. Because 25 years wasn't enough to pay my mortgage, sadly. And I still have a chunk to play. And I thought about this, and I thought, I'm not going to get Kate to get any insurance because I think it's like a waste of money. But I don't want to leave her, if I suddenly die, I don't want to leave her with this mortgage. So I rang up these different companies and I was shocked at how much this stuff costs now. Absolutely shocked. Especially if you want things like critical illness cover. So I've just gone for a basic life cover which costs more than just the two of us and everything together. But it was painful having to go through everything on the form. Because I've changed over 25 years too in terms of weight and health and things like that. But why do I do it? Because I'm worried that Kate won't have anything if I suddenly died. And I want to make sure. And, you know, it's not wrong to have these things. Please tell, you know, I'm not saying we should just do away with this. You know, I think it's important that we save, that we're not reckless, that we're not wild, you know, we're not irresponsible, that we do plan ahead for these things. I don't think Jesus is ever saying we shouldn't do that. In fact, there are times when Jesus says it's good to know what it's going to cost you this. You know, you need to make sure you've got something in the pot, as it were. But also, he does say, do not worry about the practical day-to-day things. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What are you going to wear? Don't worry about it. There was an article about a divorce settlement, and a lady was trying to get a certain settlement from her husband. It was millions of pounds. And she put out her real reasons of why she needed this amount of money. And there was all kinds of things that, her lifestyle, and she was anxious that if she didn't get this amount, she wouldn't be able to live how she'd been living. And on the list was £30,000 a year just for her hairdos. I thought, thank you, Lord, I don't have that. That would be pressure, wouldn't it? But, you know, we worry about all kinds of things, and most of them are just irrelevant, aren't they? Jesus said, don't worry. To worry is just, it's almost a waste of time. It won't help you. It won't add anything to your life. Or be confident that when God says he'll take care of us, he will. And we can trust, if we can't trust him in the everyday things, how on earth are we going to trust him with the big things? We can't trust him to provide for us here and now. How can we trust him for eternity? It's good to be confident in his promises. And Paul again in Philippians, he says, and my God will meet all your needs. Not necessarily your wants, not necessarily your hairdo bills, but my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Let's practice confidence every day, believing that God is going to provide for us. The fourth and the final thing is, let's practice compassion. The prayer is about our daily needs. Our, and we're part of a family. It's not my daily needs. We're part of a local, a national, and an international family of God. And the majority of us here are wealthy, or certainly we're wealthy beyond the needs of many, many other people. And it's really important that we don't lose sight of those who really do need our help and support. Because there are many within the family of God, many people throughout the world who really don't have the basic necessities of life and need our generosity. In Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, there's a story of this church in Macedonia that when they hear that the church in Jerusalem is struggling, it's going through famine, Paul says this, "And now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and the extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will." This church, they were poor. They didn't have anything. And yet when they heard that there was someone else who was even in a deeper situation, an even worse situation, they gave themselves. They acknowledged that even the little they had came from God, and they trusted him as they gave it away to those who were even in a more desperate situation. Later, Paul goes on to say, "Remember this, that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work." Let's practice compassion to those who are in need. I think we do. I'm sure we could do it even better. I think this church is very generous. But that's the heart of God, isn't it? It's the nature of God. It's the spirit of God. You know, I'm always amazed at how he provides for us. Last week, from within, nearly £19,000 was released for the mission, the ministry, and the maintenance of this fellowship here. For the mission, you know, 25% of what we give, what you give in the church, it goes to outside giving. It goes to mission work all over the world, locally, nationally, internationally. And that's good. And that's how it should be. And there's people who are on the field sharing the love of Christ in practical ways, in spiritual ways. We also have something called the Fellowship Fund for those within our fellowship who are struggling, who we know. And if you know people who are struggling, then come and talk to me afterwards or talk to one of the elders. And it's important that we support one another. But I'm amazed that God provides everything that we need. At every moment that we need a certain amount, he kind of like comes up with it. He doesn't give us huge amounts more, so then we don't have to worry. He just gives us enough. I love that proverb where the guy says, "Lord, don't give me too much that I forget about you, but don't give me too little that I dishonor your name by robbing and thieving. Just give me what I need." And may that be our prayer, that we would know God the Father, our Daddy, providing everything we need every 24 hours. Shall we pray? Jesus, we thank you for this prayer that you've given to us. And Lord, we pray that you would show us the significance of this prayer. Lord, that we would be able to tap into the power of it. Lord, that we truly would know our Heavenly Father as Daddy. That we would worship him daily, we would honor his name by the things we do, the way we live. That we would be part of his kingdom coming and his will being done on earth. And Lord, that we as a people would see in front of our very eyes, you providing for us daily. Thank you for everything you've given to us. Lord, help us to practice celebration every day, to give you thanks. Help us to be content. Help us never to desire things that you've not got on your heart for us. Help us to be confident, full of faith that you will provide. And help us to be in peace in that. And help us to have a compassionate heart to those who are less fortunate than us. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to finish our time together by singing the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, God gives us.